All over the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through sufferings and trials and tribulations. And I'm so excited this morning because the Apostle Paul wrote Romans chapter 8 to encourage Christians in trials and tribulations. We have the awesome privilege today of looking at one of the most encouraging scriptures in the entire Bible. One of the most famous, one of the most well-quoted, and one of the most encouraging. I am humbled today because I just want to admit to you that this scripture is so grand and glorious that I am absolutely not going to do it justice today. But I will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, unlock some of the truths of this incredible passage. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and stand with me as we read one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would give you the undeserved and awesome grace of truly hearing the word this morning, that God would touch your heart and help you to understand the glorious treasures contained in this beautiful passage. You just pray right now, just between you and God, that you could hear the word of God preached this morning. Will you pray right now that through the preaching of the word, God would be glorified, Christ would be glorified, and the grace of God and the work of God would be lifted up this morning. That is the purpose of the preaching of the word, that God would be glorified. Pray for that this morning. Now, would you pray for open hearts, for yourself and for the others in this room? Now, would you quickly pray for me? O God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until every heart confesses Christ is Lord. In His name we pray, amen. Please be seated. You have notes in your bulletin, I trust. Romans 8, 28, we start out with this beautiful, beautiful verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. God is good. And God causes all things to work together for good to those who believe. Philippians 1:6 behind me on the screen, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you are counting on God's faithfulness, say amen. James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Would you please keep your finger in Romans chapter 8 and join me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:7, a beautiful passage about the goodness of God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a? He will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? It is such a huge comfort to know that God is good and God is in control. And He causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called by Him. Number one in your notes, worded very simply, thank you. First, Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but deliver Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? What's powerful about this is the very next verse after our passage today. Now, number one in your notes, God is causing all things to work together for good for believers. God is causing all things to work together for good for believers. This life is full of suffering, and as I mentioned earlier, Romans 8 is written to encourage suffering Christians, because as we said, this life is difficult. This life is difficult, and we need encouragement, and the Bible offers it. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Isn't that awesome? The sufferings right now are not even worth comparing with what God has planned for us in heaven. Look at Romans 8:35 through 39. He who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to study that very slowly and carefully in the next few weeks. Even in the terrible sufferings of this life, the Christian can know that God is in control. And God is causing all things to work together for the ultimate good of the Christian, because He's in control and He loves you and He has an awesome plan for your life. Paul says, all things work together for good for God's children. And then in verse 29, starting from verse 29, he lists five ways that God pours out His love and grace onto the lives of believers. Five ways that God pours out His love and grace into the lives of believers. Look at verse 29 in our passage today. Romans 8. 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Incredible. God foreknew us, He predestined us, He called us, He justified us, and He glorified us. Let's take them one at a time. First of all, God foreknew us. He foreknows us. In your notes on the back, you have the Greek words we're studying today. Our first Greek word, foreknow, is pragnosko. Pragnosko. Gnosko means to know. And pra is before, to know before. The word simply means to know something ahead of time. God knew you ahead of time. In your notes, number two, even before He created the world, God knew He was going to save you. God knew you ahead of time. Keep your finger in Romans 8. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Incredible passage. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That verse alone is all you need to persevere in trial. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. What a wonderful passage about God's grace. You're going to want to keep a bookmark in Ephesians chapter 1, because we're going to go back to Romans 8, but we'll be back to Ephesians chapter 1 in a second. So let's go back to Romans 8. He foreknew us, and the next thing is He predestined us. Romans 8, 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. God has a wonderful plan and purpose for the believer. Predestined is another word very similar to prognosko. It is praorizo. It's on the back page of your notes, praorizo. Prognosko, to know before. Praorizo, orizo means to ordain or to determine. So praorizo means to determine before. God knew He was going to save you, and He has an awesome plan and purpose for you. He determined it beforehand. What is God's purpose and plan for you. What is it? Before we look at that, let's look at some other things that God predestined. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, 28. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage? And the peoples devise futile things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers who gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Do you see it? The book of Acts says that Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles, when they gathered together against Jesus to put him on trial and crucify him, simply did what God predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they'd gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. God predestined, he predetermined, he preordained that Christ would die for us. What else has he predestined? Come with me to come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. God has a gracious and glorious plan for the believer. He preordained it. He predestined it. He predestined that Christ would save us. And he has a plan for us. Your notes. Number 3, I think. God has a glorious plan for the believer. God has a glorious plan for the believer. What is his plan? A. 3A in your notes. God predestined us to become his children. God predestined us to become his children. I hope you still have a bookmark in Ephesians 1. Let's go back there. Ephesians 1. The Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 5 says, He predestined us to adoption as sons. That is A. B, as His children, we have been predestined to be His heirs. Elder Jerry Mills has a wonderful Sunday school class that meets at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And during that Sunday school class, all he's doing is slowly and carefully teaching students to read the Bible carefully and observe and pull for themselves the riches out of it. That is an incredibly valuable class. If you're not busy at 9 a.m. Sunday mornings, come to that class. Jerry prays, he works very hard, but you come because you want to learn how to get as much out of the Bible as you can in your own personal reading. If you want that, come to that class. This week, if you have nothing else to do for your personal quiet time, open up Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through, well, the end, really, and just read it over and over again, slowly and carefully, and pull out those priceless nuggets from it. B, as His children, we have been predestined to be His heirs. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1 behind me on the screen. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. And finally, look at our passage in Romans 8:29. We've been predestined to be His child. We've been predestined to be His heirs. And verse 29, Romans 8:29. Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. God has predestined, He has preordained, He has predetermined that believers, you and I, would become like Jesus. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts have been corrupted by sin. Our bodies are perishable, but God's plan and purpose for us is that we should be set free from corruption and live forever free of sin and death. That is God's plan for you. He predetermined it. Look at Philippians 3, 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. That is our destiny. A body, a mind, a heart, free from sin and death, just like Jesus Christ. See in your notes, God predestined us to become like Christ. God predestined us to become like Christ. Please join me in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking about the resurrection of the dead, which all of us who are believers will experience. 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Verse 37, 1 Corinthians 15, 37. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else, but God gives it a body just as he wished. And to each of the seeds a body of its own. In other words, when you plant a seed, you're not planting what you get. You just plant a bare seed. What you get is the beautiful plant, or the beautiful flower, or the beautiful tree. But God gives it a body just as he wished. And to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's flesh of men, there's a flesh of beasts, a flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly one and the glory of the earthly is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. Stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Look at it. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. You now have a perishable body, but in Christ Jesus we will have an imperishable body. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, then there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam will become a life-giving spirit. The spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, is from the earth, earthy. The second man, Jesus Christ, is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. But as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Now look at this. Verse 49. I've been building this whole thing up to give it to you in context for verse 49. Just as we bear the image of the earthy, Adam, we will also bear the image of Jesus Christ. That is God's plan for the believer. In your notes, I've included a beautiful quote from Everett Harrison, Jesus became like us so that we might become like him. 1 Corinthians 15 is so beautiful, I just want us to finish it. Let's look with verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. This perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. There should be more. There's no more. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That is why we preach the Word of God at Trinity Baptist. I could work for 60 hours on nothing but the sermon, and could not come up with anything more encouraging than 1 Corinthians 15. That's why we preach the word, and that's why we preach the gospel. Because the people out there, when Jesus comes back, they will be raised too, but they will be simply raised out of the grave to go to hell. In Jesus Christ, we get a new imperishable body, and we are conformed to the image of our Savior. That is God's plan for the believer. Look at verse 29 again. Our passage this morning, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. What does it mean that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren? What does that mean? It can't mean that he was born like he began to exist, because we know from John chapter 1 that he existed from all eternity. That is Jesus Christ. He has no beginning. So what does this mean? Firstborn. Look at Colossians 1 behind me. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, does that mean that he was the first one to be created? It can't mean that. Look at verse 16. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and Jesus is the beginning. Here it is, the firstborn from the dead, so that Jesus Christ will come to have first place in everything. Christ is the firstborn. He's the first to be raised from the dead. We will all be set free from death because Jesus conquered death first. He is the firstborn. It also means he is the first in order, or the first in rank. Look at verse 29. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. It's the most awesome thing. We are his brothers. We are his brothers. But he is the first. He's the first in rank. We are his brothers, but he is our Lord. Look at Hebrews 2 behind me. But we do see him, Jesus, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Jesus, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are his brothers. Chrissy, back up one. Okay. That him in verse 10 may be the Father. I'll have to look at that some more. You be the judge. Okay. We are his brethren. Why did God predestine us to become conformed to the image of his Son? God predestined us so that we would be united with Christ and become like Christ. He predestined us so that we would be united with Christ and become like Christ. But God is not through with us yet, brothers. He foreknew us, he predestined us. And look at verse 30. Actually, let's take it from verse 29 again. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. Called is our third Greek word today. Kaleo, believe it or not. I'm not making this up. The Greek word is kaleo. Sounds just like our English word call. And it means to invite or to summon. Listen to this beautiful definition of the Greek word kaleo from the Dictionary of New Testament Theology. Kaleo means to speak to someone in order to bring them into a personal relationship. Kaleo, the Greek word, to speak to someone in order to bring them into a personal relationship. That's what Jesus does. Amen? Look behind me at Mark 1:19. Jesus called his disciples. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who was also in the boat, mending the nets. Immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Jesus called them to be his disciples, and God called us into a personal relationship with him. That's in your notes. Number four, God has summoned us into a relationship with him. God has summoned us into a relationship with him. Please join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this beautiful passage. I hope when we read these passages, you're just grabbing every word in these passages. 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. There should be more. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God called, God foreknew you, he predestined you, and he has called you into a relationship with him. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here's a question for you. Did God call you into a relationship with him because of your good works? No, he did not. Look at 2 Timothy 1 behind me on the screen. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. God saved us not because of our works, but because of his grace. He saved us, and by his love and grace,
not because of our works, but because of His love and purpose and grace. God foreknew us. He predestined us. He called us. And next week we're going to see that He justifies us and glorifies us, all because of His marvelous grace, not because of anything we've done. It's all about Him. I want to leave you with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 through 17. I'm leaving you with this. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, because by the Lord, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm. Hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. I sure hope you'll come back next week to hear about justified and glorified. But before we dismiss, I wonder if God is calling you. It says God foreknew us, He predestined us, and He summoned us into a relationship with Him. Have you ever invited Jesus Christ into your heart? If you haven't, is God calling you right now? Can you feel it in your heart? Can you hear His voice summoning you, calling you into a relationship with Him? Maybe you're here this morning and you've believed for years, but you've never really fully entered into the relationship. You say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but it's just not, you just don't have a relationship with Him. Is God calling you right now? Can you hear it in your heart? Because that's what He's done for everyone in this room. Everyone in this room that believes was foreknown by Him, was predestined by Him, and by His grace was called, was summoned into a relationship with Him. Are you hearing that call today? If you are, the elders are going to be right over here. If you're hearing that call, respond. Respond. Come and pray with us. Come and talk to us. Come and let us help you into a relationship with Jesus Christ.